I'm Andy Borowitz, in for Leonard Lopate. For most actors, playing the role of a middle-aged, underemployed florist-slash-male prostitute would seem a bit of a stretch. This is not the case for John Turturro, who has made a career out of playing outsiders, underdogs, weirdos, we can call them, others on the margins of society. As writer, director, and star of the new film Baiting Gigolo, which opens this Friday, Turturro tells a story of how a friendship between his character, Fioravante, and Murray, played by Woody Allen, an older, out-of-business bookseller, turns into a working arrangement of reluctant gigolo and pragmatic pimp. It's his fifth film as writer and director, and I'm happy it brings John Turturro back to the studio.
Well, thanks for having me.
John, I have to just, full disclosure, I have to explain to the audience that we are related. You were married to my first cousin, Kathy Borowitz.
That's right.
This may not be the most hardball interview you've ever had. Because I do believe in some family tranquility.
Okay.
And I just heard that you also are a previous guest host of the Leonard Lopate Show.
That's right. I survived, so I'm really glad I'm in this chair today. Mm-hmm.
What did you find challenging about it? I find it challenging trying to imitate Leonard for 2 hours. but what did you find challenging?
I found the time limit for each guest, and also having to reiterate that we're on WNYC 93.9. And
I was hoping you would do that for me while you're here.
And I just thought it was, you had to be informed about your questions, mm-hmm. and it was challenging.
Yeah, it's a pain, but we'll do our best. This movie is really, really funny, and I've seen all of your movies. You've directed 5 movies now.
Yes.
And this one really feels the tightest. Like, it feels like it's a sort of a sex farce, but you pull together a lot of different elements. But it really it's tight. It's short. Are you learning from film to film? Do you feel that?
Absolutely. And also sometimes you're dealing with your limitations. You're not going to have a really long shoot. We shot for 6+ weeks. When I was doing the drafts of the script, Woody encouraged me, to keep it as tight and to try to make it as nuanced as possible, because mm-hmm. we discussed this idea originally, and then I would write it, and he would give me his very generous but merciless criticism, as he would say. He said, we don't want to read about it. It's better than I tell you, what I think. And he was he really didn't tell me what to do, but he was very encouraging that way.
So he was really involved in the development of the script.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the script, but he would give me his feedback of what he thought was believable, what worked, and what he thought was a rich vein that I had hit and to try to develop. Because at the first draft, it was quite scattershot approach, because I was trying to find out what he would be interested in and what I would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I did a lot of different research about that world of streetwalkers, and then I wanted to choose a religion, and I chose the Hasidic religion to explore that. And, the more you do research on things, the more interesting and richer things become.
So at what point did he become involved? Did you originally have the idea that I want to play a male prostitute and have this older guy play my pimp? How did this whole thing start?
It all really started that the idea, I thought that we could be a good team.
Mm-hmm. You want to do a good movie with Woody Allen.
Yeah, and I thought we're different enough, but maybe the possibility existed that we could actually have chemistry. And I got I knew he liked me, and I'm certainly a big fan of his. And I got to know him through the drafts, and then I did these plays with him. And, by the time we shot the film, I had, known him for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it really helped, because he was obviously, I had to tell him things occasionally since I was the director, and to get over your shyness about that. And I think what you see between us is a little bit of our relationship in the movie under imaginary circumstances.
And he's directed you too, right? I mean,
little things. Yeah, but I worked in one film with Doug McGrath, his friend directed, one with Woody. And but I know, he was interested in me doing another film once, and I couldn't do it. And I've always known he's liked my work, and I'm a big fan of his.
Now, I acted in one Woody Allen movie, although I don't think acting is really the appropriate term to describe what I did. I appeared in a Woody Allen movie. And one thing that all the actors, the actual actors on the set, noted with some I would say alarm was the fact that Woody Allen wasn't really talking to any of the actors about what they were supposed to do. He would tell them where to stand.
Well, Woody's theory is, you know, if I have nothing to say, you know, he goes, you know, just let them just do it. And then if they don't do it right, then I think maybe he says something or hires someone differently after that.
they don't hear from him again.
They don't hear from him again. But he was very easy to direct. You know, it was odd when we first started acting with each other, because you realize how good he actually is and how he can hold the screen, and he can be really serious and can be really delicate and really funny. And, you know, his performances maybe haven't exchanged like his exterior performance, but he's been in broad comedies, romantic comedies, more serious movies. He did The Front, you know, many years ago. So he's a wonderful performer. And I loved acting with him.
So you, as a director, talked more to Woody Allen than, say, Woody Allen would talk to you if he were directing.
Yeah, once in a while I would tell him, you know, maybe slow this up, or you could be more delicate or more serious. But many times I didn't have anything to say to him. Or if, you know, there were times where I had written maybe like a one-line interchange, and I said, well, you know, if you want to improvise, you want to try something different, go ahead. And he would just, you know, come up with an inexhaustible amount of interesting one-liners, you know. But he's also a musician, so when he does a second take, it's always a little different. He always throws a different
improvising
curve. That's right. You know, on how he does it.
Well, I mean this as a compliment, but this is sort of like the best Woody Allen movie that Woody Allen didn't make. It has his influence because he's in it, and it has his rhythms. Were you thinking of Woody Allen's oeuvre at all when you were doing it?
Sure. I mean, the only film I re-looked at was Broadway Danny Rose. But from having gone through, you know, working with him in the theater and on the script and having all these conversations with him, you know, his voice was in my head. And I was obviously – and he always kind of liked, you know, how I was writing that character. And, of course, he made some really great improvements because – you know, unlike a lot of actors, he can come up with something really humorous and inventive, but right on the spot. And that doesn't take him 5 minutes to arrive at it. So,
well, tell a little bit of the story of this movie. You don't have to do any spoilers, but tell us what the setup is. It's a typical middle-aged male prostitute meets pimp story, that old Hollywood chestnut. But tell, like, what the idea was that you started with and then how it plays out a little bit.
Well, the idea is that there's these two guys. They have this friendship. It's kind of like a father and son friendship. One guy's bookstore, Murray, but played by Woody, is going out of business. He has this encounter with his dermatologist, played by Sharon Stone, who has an unhappy marriage. And she's looking to do something different, but she doesn't want to get involved with the guy. And she was thinking about maybe having a threesome with her friend, maybe to get revenge on her husband. And she blurts it out as she's probably taking something off of his skin. And Woody, she says, "Do you know anybody?" And he says, "Yeah, I do." And then he tells me as we're packing up his bookstore that he says, "But it'll cost you $1,000." And then he lays that on me. And of course, I'm kind of reluctant about the whole thing and saying, "Listen, I'm too old. I'm not like a really beautiful guy. I don't know why you suggested me." And eventually we have all these conversations about it. And she's interested in it. And then he sets us up. And, you know, my character works for him and works in a florist shop. He lives in a small apartment. He's an unambitious man who's very comfortable with women, but is never committed to one. But he's kind of a physical, almost like taciturn modern day, you'd say, samurai. But instead of cutting people's heads off, he works in a flower store. But a guy who likes women, but he's confident, but not a cocky guy, you know. So, you know, and that becomes kind of one of his advantages, that he's like a good listener. You know, and
women like that, apparently.
That they do, and I'm going to share that with your viewers. It's very important. And so what happens is, in the course of this crazy idea, all these different encounters happen, and then he runs into this woman who's an Hasidic widow, and this unlikely relationship develops. So the film gets more delicate as it goes along, but kind of, you know, veers back and forth between delicacy and humor.
I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate, and I'm talking to John Turturro about being a male prostitute. I just want to end right there and see people drive off the road. He's a male prostitute in his new film, of course, Fading Gigolo, with Woody Allen in a very funny performance. It's interesting. I thought you were being very generous to him as a director and a performer because you give Woody Allen really a lot of the comedy in the film, and you're playing it pretty straight.
I mean, right. Well, I think in a team, you have to, one guy has to be more of the straight person. You can't, you know, you have to complement each other. And I thought that would be more believable in that situation. And when I talked to Woody, you know, I kind of let him lead that way and then go underneath it. But, you know, a film like this, sometimes comedies run out of steam after 20, 30 minutes. And one thing that would interest us both, I think, was that it's kind of about people's unceasing need for human connection and how that begins when you hit puberty and it only ends when you expire.
Right.
You know? And it never ends. So I think the film, you know, it fleshes out as the story develops.
You're acting as a gigolo. You're acting opposite a lot of beautiful women in this film. That must have been
personal,
a chore.
It's all based on personal experience.
yes, you and Richard Gere.
I actually am Richard Gere's son, actually.
How did you... It must have been a fun movie to cast these women. How did you go about you? I guess you're acting opposite three really beautiful women.
Vanessa Paradis, Sofia Vergara, Sharon Stone.
Not bad.
And Liev Schreiber plays the other guy
right,
in the movie.
The other guy.
But I wanted to have different kinds of women and representing different ages and different groups and different socioeconomic situations. And also, you know, when you make a movie, you want it to be pleasing for the audience, too, as long as it's within the realm of the possible. But Sofia Vergara says in the middle of the movie, she says, you know, you look like a man, not too pretty. You know, and that's kind of, you know, he says, yeah. She says, do you know what goes on inside of a woman's head? And he says, nah, I have no idea. You know, I wouldn't be here if I did, you know. So it's all about this interchange that takes place between these people. But it's a great group of women, and I'm very happy with all their performances. I think there's a lot of nuance in there, too.
Yeah, sure is. Now, you mentioned Liev Schreiber, who plays sort of a watch patrolman in a Hasidic community.
Yes.
He's a Hasid, but he drives in a patrol car, and he's sort of a detective.
He's one of the people who is in the police force. Then they have these police forces.
Right. It felt very real. But I was wondering about that. Were you at all... nervous about portraying that community because it's not played for laughs, but I mean there is, you know, a lot of comedy in those scenes. And
I tried to be respectful. I think there's people who are very happy in various religious communities, and there's people who want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's both of that. But basically, I wanted to choose one religion that sort of could be a metaphor for other religions and other situations that women go through.
Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting to see you play this part because it is a gigolo of a certain age.
Right.
I mean, you are older and yet you don't really make that a joke. There's never any, you're not making fun of the notion of older women or older men having lust or sex. And that's kind of cool. It's because it seems like in the media, it's always like, oh, you know, We're making fun of the fact that people in their 50s or 60s want to have sex.
I think, you know, there's nothing laughable about it. It's really real, you know, and I think there's nothing to be ashamed of. A lot of times people have to reinvent themselves at various ages, and sometimes you wind up dating and, you know, you have a lot of life experience, but once again, you're in the situation you were when you were 17 or 18. And I thought it would be interesting to put these characters in situations that they were brand new for them.
Right.
And you can get a lot of comedy out of it, and you can also get a lot of tenderness out of it.
You know, before I forget, because we're going to talk about some other things, I should tell the audience where you can see the film. You can see Fading Gigolo this Friday at Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and also at the Angelica Film Center, as well as Cinemas 1, 2, and 3. Have I left anything out?
No. That is correct.
That's good. You should definitely check it out. Now, you have had a pretty far-flung career because you've done Hollywood blockbusters and you've done Woody Allen, Coen Brothers, Spike Lee films. Mm-hmm. You've made your own films. Have you ever had like a 5-year, 10-year plan, or are you just always looking to do the next interesting thing?
Well, this was really something that I, you know, it was a real privilege to get a chance to make a movie like this with this cast, you know, to make something that was sort of an intelligent, you know, comedy, or to aspire to try to make an intelligent comedy. I'd like to direct more because I'm interested in seeing what else I could do. I'm certainly interested in women. I've always been interested in sex in a movie, and I'm also interested in how people are oppressed, mm-hmm. you know, and I think sometimes, you know, that's really not explored. And actually, that can be very helpful in a movie because it gives you an obstacle to overcome. So I would like to direct more. I really would. But some things that would resonate with me and with people like I just worked with. So I don't really have a 10-year plan, but I'd like to flex my muscles a little bit that way.
My 10-year plan is I will still be guest hosting the Leonard Lopez show. That's all I've been putting my hopes on.
And I'll still be
You'll still be on. I've been speaking with John Turturro about writing, directing, and starring in Fading Gigolo. It opens Friday at Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the Angelica Film Center, including Cinemas 1, 2, and 3. And John, thanks so much and good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.